Thank you, Britt, for those songs. Glad to see everyone tonight for our Sunday night service. I said we have some visitors in the crowd, and we appreciate your presence and every chance you get to be with us here at O'Neill. Tonight we're going to be talking and be speaking from Matthew chapter 27. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn to Matthew chapter 27 as we, this is our text for tonight. Matthew chapter 27 and starting in verse 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. So here we have, it's morning time. There's a group of men who are gathered together. These men are not gathered for a cup of coffee. They are gathered together to plot. They've made a plot, and that plot is to kill Jesus. And as we see here, they have led him away, they bound him up, and they've led him away, and they are taking him to Pontius Pilate. Now skip over to verse 11. On verse 11 it says, when Jesus stood before the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? So here he has, Pilate is talking to Jesus, and he's asking him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus replies, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and the elders, he said nothing. So here they have Jesus, and these people, they're making all these accusations against Jesus. But he says nothing. Then Pilate says, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? Jesus, are you not listening to what they're saying? They're saying these things about you. They're accusing you of these things, and you're not going to defend yourself. You're not going to say anything. He answered him to never a word. Hear Jesus, accused, but never says a word. And what does it say about Pilate here? It says, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Could you imagine that? Here you are, you're being accused of all these things, but you don't say one thing in your defense. I think I would marvel greatly myself too. I'd be wondering what's going on here. But as we continue on here in verse 15, look at what the things that unravel here. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. The governor, it's that custom that they would release a prisoner. So here it says they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Barabbas here, we know he is a notorious criminal, one that the people are very familiar with, and they have Barabbas. It says, and therefore when they were gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called the Christ. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Could you imagine? I would think, and if I was putting myself in, as Brother Guy mentioned this morning, putting yourself in somebody's shoes, if you put myself into Pilate's shoes, and Pilate knows that they have delivered Jesus for pure envy, that here he has Jesus who's done nothing. Let's put him up against this notorious criminal. In my mind, if I was Pilate, I'd be thinking, well, surely they're going to choose Jesus. But who did they choose? It says, and when he was set down the judgment seat, his wife sent for him, saying, Have you nothing to do with this just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Ask for this notorious criminal. Destroy this just person. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? Which one of these two will I release unto you? Barabbas, or will I release unto you Jesus? And who do they say? Barabbas, the notorious criminal. Let him go. Let him go free. Pilate said then in verse 22, what shall I do then with Jesus? He asked, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And of course, we know what they said. Let him be crucified. Here we have Jesus standing before Pilate. And Pilate is looking here and says, well, if y'all want me to release Barabbas, what shall I then do with Jesus? You see, Pilate had an answer. And when we look through the rest of this, a couple more verses there, we see Pilate's answer to this question. Pilate here, and it goes in verse 22, they're saying, let him be crucified. And the governor says, well, what evil has he done? Has he done any evil? But they cried out more, and they said, "Let him be crucified." You see, Pontius Pilate, he was a man who was trained. He was a man who was commissioned by Rome to act as a judge. And if there was a dispute or if there was any decision that was to be made, Pilate was the man. Pilate was the one. In these cases like this, Pilate would act as the judge. He would act as the prosecutor. He would act as the defense attorney. He was the one. He had the decision to make who was sent, who was to let go free. You see, Pilate had the right question. He had the right questions when he was asking the crowd there. But he didn't have the ability to answer. He failed to release Jesus. And in verse 24, it says that he washes his hands. You see, here Pilate gives his answer as he's washing his hands before the crowd. And his answer was, "I'm going to avoid Jesus." His answer was avoidance. "I'm going to avoid him. I'm going to avoid making the judgment." When Jesus is presented to us, and that question is asked of us, "What will you do with Jesus?" Or, "What shall I then do with Jesus?" Do we avoid him? Do we avoid what we know we need to do? Such is the question that we have tonight. What will you do with Jesus? Pilate had the question, and it was a great question for us to consider tonight. Pilate's answer, though, was very inadequate. His answer was it was inadequate. The Jewish leaders, their answer was irresponsible. The mob's answer was irrational. Is our response sometimes to the question any different than Pilate's? Is our answer sometimes inadequate? Is our answer sometimes irrational? Is our answer sometimes irresponsible? And I'm afraid to say sometimes it is. We see many examples in the Bible. We see many examples of people and their answer. If they were to answer this question, "What will you do with Jesus?" We see that they give their answers too. And sometimes answers doesn't come in words, does it? Sometimes answers come in our actions, through our actions. We see here Peter also had an answer. If you go back to one chapter here in Matthew chapter 26. Turn back to Matthew chapter 26. And here we have Jesus has already been captured. But here you have Peter. Peter in verse 69. It says that Peter sat without the palace. And the damsel came to him saying, "Thou wast with Jesus of Nazareth." Peter, what will you do with Jesus? Here you have a girl saying, "You were with Jesus. What are you going to do with him?" What did he say in verse 70? "But he denied before them all, saying, 'I know not what you say.'" Here we have, he's denying that he knows what they're saying. In verse 71, he continues on, he says, "And when he was gone out into the porch," and another maid comes, and she says, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." "Peter, you were with Nazareth. I've seen you. Peter, what will you do with Jesus?" And again, he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." In verse 73, it says, "And after a while came unto him that stood by and said to Peter, 'Surely, surely thou art also one of them. Your speech is betraying you.'" Peter, what will you do with Jesus? Look at verse 74. "He began to curse and to swear, saying, 'I know not the man.'" "I don't know him." Peter, what's your answer to Jesus? It's denial. What about us? What about me? Do we deny Jesus? Do we deny him in our life? Do we deny him through our conversation? Yet there's another example. Even in the same story, you have Judas. Go back to chapter 27 now. These verses that I skipped just a moment ago. Starting there in verse 3. It says, Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, he repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? See thou to that." He cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and then departed and went and hanged himself. Judas, what will you do with Jesus? What did he do? He betrayed him. He betrayed the person that he had walked with. He betrayed the person that he had talked with. He had betrayed the person who was his master, who was his teacher. He betrayed him for just a little money. What do we betray Jesus for? Would we betray him? If we were in Judas's footsteps, would we betray him? What about in Acts chapter 2? We turn now over into Acts chapter 2. Here we have, in Acts chapter 2, we have the day of Pentecost. Peter, he's preaching to these people. And here in chapter 2, let me get over here, chapter 2, starting in verse 36, Peter is preaching to them, and it says in verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Here he's talking to them. Peter's telling them, the person who is Lord and Christ, you crucified him. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Here they have witnessed miracle after miracle. They witnessed the signs. And when he went to the cross, who was with him? How many of these people were with him? None of them. Whenever it was time to Pilate's asking them, "Who should I release? Who said Jesus?" Not one. Not one person. Could you imagine after he's preached to them and they told them this and basically said, "These people, what will you do with Jesus?" They knew what they had done with him. They had crucified him. They had crucified their Lord and Savior. But what did they realize? You see, their answer on that day was acceptance. They accepted the fact that, yes, we crucified Jesus. Did they do it with their hands? No. But they did it because they left him. They forsook him. But they accept. Once they were told what they had done, they were said, "This is what you did." They accepted that fact, but they also accepted something else. They accepted that they needed to do something about themselves. Because there we see in verse, when they asked that question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What did Peter say? He said, "You repent and you be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." For what? For the remission of sins. They know they had sin. They know they had to get that sin out of their lives. He told them that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And in verse 41, it says, "They that gladly received the word, they were baptized." They heard it, they accepted it, and they did something about it. What about the eunuch? Flip over just a few chapters in chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, we see the eunuch. And we have Philip here, and Philip has been told that you go to the eunuch, and you're going to see him here. He goes to the eunuch there, and verse 35 it says, "Then Philip opened his mouth. He began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." Here he is. He's reading. What is he reading? He's reading from Isaiah. You skip up a few verses there, and it says that the scripture he read was, "He was led as a lamb, as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth." We just read when he was being accused. When he was being accused, and Pilate said, "Don't you hear what they're saying?" What did Jesus do? Jesus didn't say a word. That's exactly what the eunuch was reading. He was reading here, "As he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth in humiliation. His judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So from that very scripture, Philip here begins to preach to the eunuch and tell the eunuch about Jesus. And they're on their way, and they come to this water, and the eunuch says, "See, here is water. What if hinder me to be baptized?" Eunuch, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? He says, "Here's water." Just like Casey said in his lesson, when you preach Jesus, you can't help but preach baptism. If you preach baptism, you got to preach Jesus. You can't separate the two. And Philip said, "If you believe and with all your heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." They commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down to the eunuch. "Eunuch, what will you do with Jesus?" "I will obey him. I will obey what he tells me to do." do we obey what Jesus tells us to do? You know, are we any different? Our answer with that question, what will you do with Jesus? Avoidance, denial, betrayal, acceptance, obedience. Are we any different? Would our answers be any different from these people? How often do we avoid or do we try to escape what we know we should do? We're just like Pilate. We're just going to try to avoid a situation. How often do we deny Christ by not standing up for Him in our daily lives? How often are we like Peter? How often do we betray Him by giving in to our weaknesses, by giving in to our sinful fleshly desires? How often are we just like Him, just like Judas? What about in accepting when we are told that you know that you're living a life of sin? When we know we're living a life of sin, and we're told you got to do something with your life, you hear from your parents, you hear from your friends, you hear from your church family, but you still don't do anything about it. Can we be a little bit more like those people on the day of Pentecost? They accepted what they had done. They understand that I'm lost and I need a Savior. I need somebody to save me. But what about obeying? What about obeying His teachings? And how about living faithfully? Living faithfully with Him. In our songbook, we have a song, What Will You Do With Jesus? The very first part of that song says, what will you do with Jesus, my friend? Neutral you cannot be. When we're asked that question, what will you do with Jesus? We can't do nothing. There's something you have to do. You're either for Him or you're against Him. You're either going to obey Him or you're not going to obey Him. See, whenever we're asked that question, what will you do with Jesus? You cannot sit on the fence. We cannot sit on the fence when we're asked, what will you do with Jesus? When we're trying to make the decision on becoming a Christian, we've got to get off the fence. When we're trying to make a decision about serving Christ with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, we've got to get off the fence and make a decision. When we're trying to decide whether living one more day in sin is worth it, we've got to get off the fence and make a decision. We've got to stop putting off what we know that we need to do. When we think about getting off the fence and talking about Jesus and Him being our Lord, is Jesus Lord? That's the question. Is He the Lord? In Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 19, it says, and what exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. He set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Where did He sit Him? Is Jesus the Lord? He is far above principality. He's far above power. He's far above might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. He is above all those things. Is Jesus Lord? Continuing in verse 22, He has put all things under His feet. He gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Is Jesus Lord? When we look in Acts chapter 10, when Peter is here, has opened his mouth, he says, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of Him. The word which God has sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. Is Jesus Lord? Yes, He is. Jesus is the Lord of all. But another question. Is Jesus the Lord? Is He your Lord? Is He the Lord of your life? Is He the Lord of my life? Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either you're going to hate the one and love the other, you're going to hold the one and despise the other, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't have both. You can't have a life of sin and have the pleasures of Jesus Christ and the promises that He gives. You can't have both. You've got to get off the fence. Which one do you want? Do you want to live with Jesus or do you want to live with Satan? That's the choice that we have. Is he the Lord of your life? What will you do with him? Are you going to try to serve both? You can't do it. In Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 16, Paul says, "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed that form of from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." You see, whoever you yield yourself to, that's who you're the servant of. And whoever you're yielding yourself to, that is the Lord of your life. Think about the decisions and the choices that we make in our life. Are they the ones that Jesus is going to be the Lord of? Are they the ones that Satan is the Lord of? Continuing on there, he's in verse 19. He says, "Speak after a manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants unto uncleanness, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness." You've got a choice. You can either serve iniquity, you can serve uncleanness, you can serve unholiness, you can serve unrighteousness, or you can be a servant of righteousness. You can be a servant of holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. You can't have both, is what he's saying. You can't have sin and have righteousness at the same time. "What fruit," he says, "had you in those things whereof you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." You want to be the servant of sin? Then death is what you get. Continuing there in verse 22. "But now being made free from sin." He made us free from sin. When you're a child of his, you're free from sin. And if you're free from sin in that life, and whenever you do sin, if you're in Christ, what are you going to do? You're going to get rid of it. You're not going to hold that sin. You're going to become servants to God. And your fruit is going to be what? Your fruit is going to be holiness. How is the end of those people who are holy? The end of those is everlasting life. End of verse 23, which the kids can tell you this. "For the wages of sin is death." Is Jesus your Lord? Is he the Lord of your life? Well, if you're in sin, you're going to have death. And he's not the Lord of death. He's the Lord of life. Because the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Going back to that song, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus, my friend? Neutral, you cannot be. You cannot be neutral in what Jesus was providing for us. But look at the next verse. Look at the next stanza there. "Someday, your heart will be asking, oh friend, what will he do with me?" We have a decision to make on this earth. We have a decision on what we're going to do with him. But during judgment, he has a question to ask. What's he going to do with us? Will you become his child tonight? When we talk about what will you do with Jesus? Will you become his child by being born again through baptism? Or are you going to keep avoiding it? You're going to keep putting it off? I know there are some people here with that thought and that on their mind. Why don't you make that decision tonight? Will you confess his name and put him on? Or are you going to keep denying him as the Lord of your life? Will you put off that sin or are you going to and confess your faults? Are you going to keep on betraying him? Tonight we have a question. Tonight you have the answer. Won't you answer Jesus as we stand and as